Hey, time for the DoNotGuide.com video presentation. Unfortunately, damn it. Yeah, just spent an hour making this video, and I have to do it again. The sound was all fucked up, and I don't. You know, Linux, whatever, blah, 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 blah. So, oh, it's just so irritating. So anyway, I was sort of finishing up the Modern Mystic kind of videos, last three, I guess, weeks I've been working on, trying to make sense of this alternative way of describing our modeling, suggesting how it works, kind of statements about our reality. And it's sort of a... It kind of falls after the debate with Vegan Gains about nihilism. And the part of the argument is that, yes, I'm an advocate for this idea that suffering matters, that it's important how things feel, that things, individual things, feel. I mean, I feel my feelings. My feelings don't go to Venus. They're not going to some other galaxy where they're feeling my feelings. What I see and what I feel is completely only happening to this organism. It's only manifesting in this organism. So it's kind of ridiculous to talk about how I can feel your pain because I really can't. I can only understand it. I can only appreciate it. I can't feel it. I can't experience it. I can only experience something like it, maybe. But there should be enough commonness in our feelings for us to be able to have a conversation about that. And I would say that for me, it's obvious that there's a cavern of value difference between me being happy, cupcake, and me having a nail in my eye, or being very unhappy and having a very unpleasant sensations and trauma and fear and all of that. That seems one subject, but it's related to this other, whether you believe in souls or spirits or free will or no free will or whatever, all this other stupid mush somehow enters into the conversation, and it really shouldn't, because it's superfluous. I guess because religions, it's up to God to tell us what's worth it, so God will tell us what's good for us and what's bad for us, or how much pain is worth enduring, and all this crap. Like, somehow it's not something we are here to figure out what's in our best interest and pursue that course of action. We're supposed to just do whatever he says is the right thing to do, no matter how many people it kills, or how many souls end up in hell. Anyway, just whatever the nonsense is. So the value question just seems like I shouldn't, it's almost, it's like beneath dignity to have to explain to people how sensations are innately valuable, that you can't miss it. If you have one, you notice whether it's good or bad right away. It's not, there's ambiguous feelings. I'm just saying for the majority of your sensations, and clearly for the more extreme ones, they are obviously relief or burden. I mean, they're obviously have that character of being whipped or not being whipped. And there's just no doubt about the positive and negative nature of the sensations, the deficit versus asset, profit versus loss, nature of the experiences. And my simple argument is that I know it from my personal experience that I do those calculations all the time. So my brain, immediately does, is try to prevent harm, pain, suffering, and promote comfort and relief and all of that crap. So if I'll do it for myself, I should do it for everybody else. There's no reason not to. And the only conflict exists in the circumstance where for me to have what I want, sometimes you can't have what you want. And that's bad. That's just a circumstantial bad. It's not, doesn't make me bad, doesn't make you bad, but the circumstance is bad that we have to compete over these resources and compete over who gets to wear the gold medal. We can't just share it. You know, everybody gets a day and they get to hold the gold medal and pretend they won. So the Mystic has been driveling on for 2 years or more, where we started to have real conflict with each other over his, what I would consider his glibness. And he has made a bunch of videos, bending subjects into this wooey crap Buddhist mush and, meditation mush and psychedelic drug mush. That somehow any of that crap has any meaning or relevance to a conversation about what boat we're in, describing the boat and our circumstance, whether there's sharks in the water. So the point I would make is, we're all telling stories. We're all constructed by the environment. We're all, dependent on where you were raised and what sports you played and what this you did and whether a girl hurt your feelings or not. Whether you tripped, walking up to the podium to get your gold medal, with all the little humiliations, embarrassments, all those little things have made who we are as individuals. And it's part of the story we're telling. It's whether we identify with the underdog or, whether we're a mighty makes writer, real man, soldier, blah, blah, blah. Some sort of bullshit like that, whether we're racist or whether we are have some notion of superiority because my people just happen to be middle class and your people happen to be poor and therefore I'm better than you, that kind of crap. There's so much bullshit that goes into people's identity and how they define winning and victory. Man, a lot of people think you win by lying and cheating and stealing and conniving and tripping the other guy. It's not about you winning, it's about making them lose. So lots of ways to state it. But anyway, so we had a conflict over some whatever personality thing. And I would still emphasize that to me, it's about what you're saying. Is it true? An accurate description. I mean, I hate to quote biblical shit, but the truth will set you free. Okay, the truth makes it possible not to walk into trees. The truth makes it possible to avoid drinking poison water. The truth makes it, the truth is a very valuable tool. And the Mystic seems ambiguous on understanding any kind of notion like that and thinks that any babble will do as long as it makes you break rocks into smaller rocks and have kids and die like you're supposed to do or something. Just do as you're told, he says. He says things like that just don't make any sense. No, do the right thing, and we can define the right thing, and we can articulate and state the right thing, because there is a difference between walking into quicksand and walking around quicksand, and that's what the conversation, in my opinion, is about, is accurate statements that spare people the indignity and pain and suffering of walking into quicksand. Not that they're not doomed anyway, but I just mean that you're always trying to reduce the harm and make it as graceful as possible. So it's presumed that you're better off not drowning in quicksand because you could die in some nicer way. And so we should find the nicer way for you to die than drowning in quicksand. You can minutia and pick these arguments all to pieces about what is really important, what people really need, what's really good for people, but the general idea is that suffering is the enemy, pain, the sensations of terror and torment and mental dissidence and disquiet and imbalance and... I don't know, sickness, feeling badly, And there's lots of extremes of feeling badly. And that is a very important subject, okay? I mean, reducing, if all I could do in my whole life was just prevent one kid from getting cancer, and nothing else changed in the universe except that kid didn't get cancer, and instead he, I don't know, you know, was killed in a millisecond when he was, whatever, 75 years old, in a car accident. Well, then I have made the universe a better place because there's less pain in it, less torment, less suffering, that kind of thing. You could argue that in the, you know, from not dying in cancer, he had a whole bunch of other illnesses and pains and sufferings and miseries before he died. But let's just say his life was very, it was an easy one, not a hard one. But that's what I'm just saying. You can pick this to pieces. I mean, the bottom line is that living is dangerous, and the less of it you do, the safer you're going to be. and the irony is that sort of the Buddhist philosophy is escaping this redundancy of being forced to endure the indignity of, you know, this process of want and desire and ambition and addiction and all of that crap. Anyway, all right, so that's the underlying, that's the thing that makes it mean something to me, okay? So it wouldn't matter having these conversations if I thought nothing was at stake. But the point is, I think a giant bucket of torture is at stake, and it might as well be my torture. And that's my point. It might as well be me. I'm smart enough to know that torturing me isn't any different than torturing him or her. And it's still a brain being tortured, and that's the same thing. And so, you know, I know, okay, that it's the same thing. So to me, it's a lot at stake. Torture forever, okay, or thousands of years, or, you know, millions of individuals being tortured is a lot to be at stake. And it's not trivial. And it all depends on more than just me saying words. It depends on other people saying, oh yeah, I get that. Okay, yeah, I get that. That we have to understand that we can't walk through a tree before we'll learn to walk around it. And we have to understand that life is dangerous, okay, full of jeopardy and risk and harm. And that there really isn't any good reason to subject consciousness to basically telling silly little stories about their adventure. And so the other video got ruined. You know, I went into all that, you know, that's what we're doing here. We're just all telling individual stories based on where we grew up. If you grew up on a boat, you're going to tell sailor stories. You know, you grew up in a mountain, you're going to tell mountain stories. But it's all the same stories. It's all Romeo and Juliet. It's all this. It's all, you know, it's all these formula stories of adventuring and conquest and winning and losing and struggle and all of that crap. And there's just no reason to tell them. The stories really have no utility. And all they do is open the door to really, really bad stories. And they're poison apples. How many kids with cancer do you have before you're done playing? You know, before it's too expensive. You know, I mean, maybe you don't mind sliding kid with cancer over the counter to buy what you want, but I'd have a hard time doing it. I can't imagine something I'm going to purchase except two kids not getting cancer. So if I'm going to cure two cancers, then maybe I'll pay one cancer to get it. But other than that, I, you know, if I'm not preventing more negatives, there's no way I pay a price, because there isn't anything here of any value besides the stories we tell about how to avoid walking into trees. The only stories that matter are the stories about how to prevent the waste. Wasted suffering is an abomination. It is the biggest sin. It is, it's the most certain of evils, your bads. And so that should be the mission, is first do no harm, first do no waste, first clean the waste. And then you can work on, you know, getting people to realize there's nothing but waste. Okay, there's nothing but waste. The winning is an illusion. It's a mirage. It's not in the reality. The reality is you're just a whipped slave, and you're kissing the master, you know, when he stops whipping you, and it makes you a bit of a dupe and a fool. Anyway, so the mystic has been veiling the conversation for 2 years, and all of this wooey Buddhist versus, you know, he went through the whole, you know, he told us all the Buddhist stories, the Akalavada or whatever the fuck it is, and all this other Buddhist bullshit. And then he went on to the hippie drug mushroomers, the psilocybinists, you know, and their, you know, whatever, their little spiritual experience, connecting with the universe, kind of mush, onenessing with the universe, blah, 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 blah. This has nothing, this narrative, those narratives have nothing to do with the truth. The truth is you're a fish, okay, with a more elaborate brain that can play much more elaborate games. So it's like comparing the old Atari game, you know, Asteroids or something, you know, to the modern shooter games or something. It's probably a better, more dramatic example, but it's a very it's a game, but you're playing a game on a level that's so much more elaborate. You're not just shoot, you know, your mission isn't just shoot little asteroid, do this, push trigger really fast. You know, your mission is you have to read, you have to think, are they trying to trick me? Is that a real clue or a fake clue? Blah, 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 blah. What's behind door number 3? So we're playing a much more complex game. There's a lot more doors and curtains to choose from. There's lots more crap going on. So, yeah, but it's still fish. We're still playing fish, right? We're just playing in a world where it's a little more complicated than just what algae is growing on what piece of coral. I guess the algae doesn't grow on the coral, but anyway, so it's just a little bit more elaborate, okay? We have a lot more complicated rituals that we have to go through to get our pussy, and we have to do all kinds of, you know, we have to do all this Simon Says kind of crap, and, you know, to make doors open, you just don't push on them, it pops open, you know, so we're living in a much more complicated world, full of a bunch of silly rituals and a bunch of, oh, tip your hat and shake your hand and all this little horse shit. Nonsense, really. I mean, it's so distant from, you know, our natural function, you know, all of these rituals. But apparently we're good at them because that's what people have chosen to exist in, the world they've chosen through time to vote for is a world where everybody's regimented and ruled by all of these trivial almost placations to superstition. Don't step on the crack, it'll break somebody's mother's back. There's no evidence of that. You know, but anyway, all right, so all that wooey crap is just not crap. It's not talking reality. So reality is understanding evolution, understanding we're machines, understanding part of the machine's function is the creation of this thinking device that can figure out how to walk around a tree. First figure out tree hard, unpleasant to bang into, and then it figures out how to navigate around it. And obviously we're navigating much more complex puzzles than tree, but I'm just saying that's what the brain's there for, is to make that possible, for us to not step in the quicksand, for us not to walk into the, you know, Tyrannosaurus's nesting area, you know, to stay off of something's food plate, you know, a dinner table. Don't walk on the giant's dinner table. You know, be smart. And that's why we have a brain. And the part of the function is these sensations which make it possible for us to learn in a substantial way what works and what doesn't work, to take failure seriously and to take success seriously by reward and punishment. So, and then the sensations end up being this byproduct of producing value in the universe. I mean, your brain is trying to synthesize value, and by trying to synthesize it, that is, make you think something is valuable, it's made you valuable. It's made your welfare valuable. So the silly thing it was trying to make you think is valuable, like saving your wife or something, or saving your kids, that thing really wasn't valuable, and the only thing that really was valuable is how you felt. That's the only thing that really has value, intrinsically, fundamentally, and absolutely. And everything else is negotiably valuable because it depends on what it's going to do, and whether it's going to make things on Earth more comfortable or whether it's going to torture things on Earth. And what's the destiny of its interaction? What's the long-term effect? And all of that is part of what this conversation stuff is about. So we're arguing, we're telling stories about reality. And the fact is some of the stories are absolute nonsense, and some of the stories have some hope of being the truth. And I would argue that the stories I'm telling are really good because they don't have holes in them, and they don't have weaknesses, and they're not garbage and nonsense, okay? They're pretty direct statements that can be demonstrated by, preponderances of evidence. You are a fish. I mean, we can go through, I mean, you could spend a couple of days going through all the frickin' evidence. The seawater in your blood is seawater, okay? Same salt content. I mean, you just go on and on. That obviously that's where you came from. That's where your great 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 grandfather was. Okay, he was a fish. And again, we're just swimming, navigating in a more complex sea environment. Okay, it has more than just kelp and other fish in it. All right, and part of the mechanism now, part of this better brain, this more sophisticated brain, can do this concept thing, language thing, and it can model a much more complicated world. It can understand that it's on the planet Earth. It can understand, like, fish don't know that. They don't know they're on Earth. They don't know they're in a universe. They don't know any of this shit. They don't know how big the ocean is. They don't even know they're in an ocean. So we can pile a huge amount of context onto our existence, and the point is to get the answers right, because wrong answers mean you walk into the tree. Right answers mean you walk around. Wrong answers mean you fall in the quicksand. Right answers mean you walk around. Right answers spare us unnecessary suffering. Wrong answers, wrong stories, inaccurate stories put us in the quicksand. And that would be my simple counter argument to the mystic, who seems to think all stories are the same, that there's no difference between accurate stories and inaccurate stories. And to me, it's a ridiculous premise. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's I you know I'm almost saying, okay, I must be straw-manning him. Because he can't be that ridiculous. He can't actually think it doesn't matter whether you're telling accurate, if you're accurately describing how a car works, you're teaching somebody how to drive, and it doesn't matter whether you teach them, if you teach them that the brake is the gas pedal and the gas pedal is the brake. Of course it matters. I mean, it's important that we get this stuff right, and having the right description of our circumstance and reality, what boat we're in, and what the rules of the wind are, and what the world rules of the current is. Understanding the current and the wind and all this stuff is going to make it possible for us to navigate carefully and efficiently, and not waste a bunch of torture. And you can't, I mean, How can you do better than not wasting torture? Be able to put on your tombstone, he prevented a lot of torture. I mean, you couldn't ask for something better to have on your tombstone. So it matters what stories people are telling. And there's two kinds of stories. The stories about, how I got, I maneuvered a whole bunch of the bitches, into my, corner of the pond. And, those stories, the trivial little stories about our own little personal adventure and, the little arguments we won or the little victories we've had, that crap, okay, that is garbage. But the stories about describing what we have learned through our life experience, what we learn through those little stories of bullshit, some of that stuff is, gold. Life experience is really, it's a real thing. The perspective you can gain through doing things over and over and doing them differently and finding solutions to problems that way. Keep working at the puzzle. Keep smearing the paint, until the painting's right. And that's what we're doing. We're creating a Dorian Gray type portrait of reality. And the idea is to get it righter and righter and righter, and not to pervert it with nonsense of wooey babbly boo, that ancient morons believed because they didn't have any capacity to know better, because they didn't know what bacteria was, and they didn't know what, they didn't have penicillin, and they didn't have, they lived in a completely different world, and, the expectation that they'd be able to get a right answer, is kind of unrealistic. And it's just so funny that people will revert to 2,000-year-old theory invented in a, where they mixed a bunch of bones in a bowl and stirred them and then threw it in the air and said, "That's my answer, yes or no." I mean, Ouija boards, Come on, grow up. That's just so bad, okay? So, the truth you tell with a Ouija board is not the truth you can discern through investigation of the evidence of what, all the geology and what the biology and the genetics and everything is screaming, is that we're just evolved machines. And the machines have the function of producing sensation. And the sensations have the obvious character of being decidedly negative and decidedly positive. And that means there's value involved. So again, it always comes back to this value thing, because that's the reason why it matters, is because there's torture at stake. That's the stuff, that's what we're playing for. That's the money in the poker game here, is a big pile of torture. And victory means you prevent it. Losing means you cause it. That's really important. All right, take a pause. Well, maybe I'll stitch these videos together just to make sure this thing is didn't screw up again. All right, continuing. So I guess part of what the mystic is wound down to is this understanding that, okay, me and him have different personalities because we grew up in different places. We identify with different things. Yeah, maybe I became more of a yob, some kind of slob who, doesn't worry too much about fucking with the language and whatever. Some reason. Okay. Now, I'd argue I start off pretty mysticky in terms of I like things organized and clean, and I was a bit of a neat freak, and I didn't like messes. Well, I didn't like sticky things, I guess that's the bottom line, because I like dirt just fine. So, yeah, it's hard to say. Yeah, that when I was like that age, I liked having my, proper buttons buttoned, and I liked things to be, anyway. My sandwich had to be made a certain way, and it had to be a sandwich. Well, anyway, so we have this whatever, this little bit of personality conflict, because I evolved into something a little more sloppy. But anyway, less literate. It's, that could be the truth of it. Could be that simple. Is that I'm because I had some learning disabilities. Blah 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 blah. I was way behind in school and way behind in size and way behind in everything. And so I grew up a very introverted and had to rely on my own company a lot. And maybe he did the same for completely different reasons, though. But who knows? It isn't, I don't want to go into all those reasons. Okay, the point is that we shouldn't really disagree about describing reality. So I think if I say, we're just fish watching a high definition TV instead of a black and white TV, that the pixels we're receiving, the information and what we can process, we have a better processor. Okay, yeah, the fish has got a 386 computer. It only does, 250 colors. It's got all these limitations compared to the speed and the, dynamic capacity of the new modern fish. But we're just fish, and the basic function's the same. The fish are feeling, the fish are processing the world and having a conscious experience as a result of it. They're tasting and touching, so to speak. Sensing their world and processing those sensations, and their body is creating new sensations so they can, have the static reflexive sensations of warm and, cold, and they can do the ones where their hormones create some sort of motivation, some sort of urgency, to do something or to feel horny or something. Anyway, yeah, so we're the same. It's the same basic function. I don't know. Could he say that? Would he say that? Would he agree with that? It seems in some point he does. I mean, he agrees with sort of the lizard brain, ape brain, human brain, that basically we have to, our intelligence has to negotiate with pretty stupid animals. It has to kind of talk down to the ape and try to trick the ape into doing the right thing. To try to make a banana for it to chase. So our intelligence has to constantly figure out gimmicks to get us to do what we know the intelligence has figured to be the right thing to do, and try to bend us in that direction. Because the ape is a habit addict, and it's hysterical about everything, too emotional, too immediate in its demand for comfort, and it wants it now, cash. But we shouldn't be disagreeing about that part of the story. I mean, the story of the creation of these biological machines, and that they're individual machines, individual brain, okay? There's just no other, it doesn't radiate anything that's part of its function outside of me experiencing it. My consciousness does not leak anywhere. It's all stuck in here. And the fact that it's all connected, the fact that I say boo and somebody jumps out of their chair is interesting, but it doesn't really mean anything. Because the only part of the connectedness that matters is the connectedness that allows us to influence each other in some productive way, in some way that leads to less suffering in the world. So if we're not interacting in some way that's making us smarter and better at avoiding quicksand, then we're not interacting in any way that's useful. He's conceded to some kind of notion that all stories are useless, are meaningless, are incapable of producing results. And he kind of says things like, you either will or you will not. Well, yeah, that's sort of a Yodi-ism. Okay, there is no try, there's just do or do not do. Yeah, that's true. That, you know, I'll either be persuasive or I won't. Okay, that's a truth. But the argument is if I'm talking the truth, if I'm saying something that's a fact, I should be persuasive. I should win. That argument should win. Okay, and it can only win when people who hear it say, it won. If they don't say that, then it can't win. Winning isn't just about crossing the finish line. It's about crossing the finish line in a way where other people say, yes, you won. You crossed the finish line first. It's a fact. So it's a necessary part that we be able to, collectively, save the people being tortured in the future, that we all have that same mission, that we all have that same goal. And if we don't, then we're really in trouble, right? Again, you could just make the argument that somebody has to persuade people to show up for a war, right? I mean, we defeated the Nazis. Now, if we just gave people the right to stay home, or we didn't even make any arguments defending how it needs to get done, if we didn't show any victims and we didn't, show any atrocities, then nobody fights. And then you're guaranteed to lose. So, this argument has to take place, this interaction, this tension, this conflict. And there is a lot at stake, and in my opinion. But the fact that he can see it as being moot or not a battleground when it really has to be. And the battleground is really about the truth winning. And to some extent he's conceding that point by saying that by recognizing the difference between being a God botherer and being rational. And it's almost he implies a kind of a subtle implication, perhaps, that it's best to do to have the right answer. But maybe not. There's so many places where he basically says, "Go ahead and be a religious kook. Go ahead and have a family. Go ahead and do these silly things." That will, I think the argument could be made, that are only dangerous and have huge probabilistic implications for causing more harm than preventing harm. Seems really obvious, even. All right, well, take a break, see if I can be a little clearer. All right, so part of point I'm trying to make here is we as individuals, we can't do much, right? I mean, the the substance of the torture, the unnecessary torture that the future will experience, I can't prevent as an individual. I can't pull a lever somewhere and prevent a million people from being killed in a future war or something. Horribly killed. Let's include that in there. I can't, as an individual, pass a law that makes it okay for people to gracefully die, and therefore spare, free up a huge amount of money and resources, as well as just prevent a bunch of unnecessary suffering, by letting people who understand they're done to just slide out, you know, efficiently. Pay $10 instead of $10,000. You know, pay $10,000 instead of $100,000. Big difference. So it's all waste we're talking about. I can't prevent the future's waste. We can only do that collectively. Collectively, we need to pass laws, and collectively, we need to support memes and statements about being responsible and careful and being a nice person and all that kind of bullshit. We need to collectively put up the billboards and collectively put up the don't litter signs and collectively protect the water and protect it and do these things collectively. Can't do them as an individual. And the only way we collectively do it is that we know what script we have to be speaking. We know what script we have to read for that collective thing to happen, for those memes to be spread and multiplied. And they're not going to be multiplied by people who, you know, say glibly, all stories are stories. You know, they're all the same. There is no truth to be found. And if there is a truth, it's not powerful enough to do anything. The naysayers. We already won or lost the war. We don't have to fight the war because we already won and lost it. I mean, because the future is already written, doesn't mean, again, that we don't have to. We're going to watch that future being written. We're going to see it as it's happening. And we can see when something's on fire and when something's not on fire. So we can see whether it's going to be an ash or a cinder, because we can see whether it's burning. We can see whether there's a house there in the future, because we can see whether it's getting burnt or not, whether somebody's holding a torch next to it. We can see all the signs of the future. So that's what's really, the argument is that, why suggest to people, okay, that somehow the conversation isn't necessary and that it isn't vital and that the right truth has to win, because we have to walk around the quicksand. We have to collectively cement it over. We have to eradicate the smallpox virus kind of thing. We have to do that collectively. We have to make it a mission that we all agree on, or it doesn't get done. It won't happen. We won't save the people who are going to be tortured, okay, unless we do certain things now. And as part of the conversation, there has to be some simple agreement where we say, yeah, I get that. I'll vote for it. I vote for not subsidizing people having kids. Let's vote for people taking responsibility for that decision and not imposing the responsibility and spreading it all over the place. Because the fact is the paying the real price for it will discourage them from doing it. If they have to really pay the price, if it's their price they're going to pay, then they won't do it. Okay, the future will be spared another victim. All the recklessness, the sloppiness, the whimsy, nobody should be trivially having children. It's a gigantic responsibility, and you have to be, nobody can claim they're prepared or ready, because you don't know whether you're going to be alive a year from now. There's so much risk and so much danger in that path. And so it's never a reasonable thing to do. Ever. It just can't be. Because you can't prevent the catastrophe. And the catastrophe is, made out of negative lead. it destroys any positive value. It's so weighted. Killing your kid with cancer is a crime you can't undo. Killing your kid with any kind of bad luck or bad environment or bad words or bad behavior that you allowed them to mimic, you know, your hypocrisy. So there's so much, there's so much at stake, and all reasonable people should be agreeing at least on the fact that we have to argue about what the truth of this maze is. What is the tree, and how can we go around it, okay? And we can't agree on, if we can't agree on quicksand isn't good to throw kids into, that's a real problem. But we should be able to agree on some of those basic negatives that no child should be left behind. That is, no child should be raised by child molesting inbred lunatics. it's just, things that are just so obvious, that we should make every effort to ensure that every kid has the opportunity, even giving them the choice to live in an orphanage than live in their family, live with their family. Because we could make a very nice orphanage, You just do science projects and you do this and you do that. in an environment, and you don't have all the politics of family stress. That's a side subject entirely. We have to have we're for sure lose the war if we don't talk about why it's a good cause and why we should fight it. So if nobody fights for that, we automatically lose. And if all the people listening to the people talking about the war are just saying, what's in it for me, or some other kind of crap like that, then you're not going to win the war either. So, the conversation has to go to some level where you're recognizing that the future is a value, the state that the future will be in has value, and we can maximize the profit the future will enjoy by minimizing the losses now, by accepting some losses now. We can pay 10 cents now and they can get $1 million in the future. We can put it in the bank for them. And those are all rational arguments about our obligation to create a better civilization than this slop. And, to have something to be proud of, as thinking humans, that we did a good job, that we didn't squander our opportunities with nonsense and trivial shit, that we applied a reasonable portion of our neurons and our processing time to solving real problems, not silly problems about what kind of hairstyle I should have or some other kind of bullshit. So the conflict between me and the mystic is, it's just his glibness, I guess. The fact that he doesn't think he thinks that determinism it means that there's, let's see how to put it. It's almost as if I can't convince him viscerally to want something. That is, that he can't, if I can't come up with a selfish reason where he selfishly wins something, then I can't win the argument. And therefore, the cause is already lost, and he's just conceding that. But the argument should just be about whether or not I can make a rational, logical argument defending a position, not whether I can persuade you that you'll get a big bag of candy, if you follow my instructions. And it's almost like he's saying, if it doesn't make him feel better, or doesn't make his life more comfortable, if it doesn't have any personal utility, therefore it's not a relevant consideration, and so you lost the argument because you didn't make it so you win. And then he'll make that a rationalization for the rest of the world and say, yeah, well, that's the problem. Maybe he'll just make an excuse that people are too selfish to ever do the right thing. And then I would just counter-argue, but they did show up for World War II. Okay, they did go over there and do that shit. So clearly people can be persuaded to do something not in their personal interest. And they can be persuaded to rescue people. And I'm just arguing that it's not too hard to understand that the people in the future aren't going to be living in a great world, and you're doing them a favor if you can prevent them from having to endure all the indignities that are going to exist in that future. The pain and the suffering, the torture. It's just so much easier to prevent than it is to fix later. And you certainly can't undo anything. You can't undo any of the horrible torture that's taken place in the, you know, millions of years we have been feeling our way in this humus. We can't undo any of that. And all we have is that the power to prevent piling more bad on bad. Whatever that phrase is, right? I can't. Oh, it's getting old. Things sucks. No point in. I guess I'll pause and I'll see if I can think of the damn thing. Waste not, want not. Yeah, that's not it. No point in putting bad money after good money after bad. Some kind of, well, anyway, you know. You probably know it. But anyway. Anyway. So it was an interesting wind down to his recent binge of videos, but you do have to wonder why he wastes so much time when he's basically just saying, he's basically saying, look, you know, I'm talking to people who probably aren't God botherers, and he's pretending like they are, and I'm just like, well, why are you bothering doing that? So he has a couple of people, I guess, who are God botherers who watch his videos, but I'd have to argue that the vast majority are not. So what is all that crap about? Is it really? Can you call somebody who intelligent, who believes in spirits and souls and gods? I can't. I can't call that intelligent because it's silly and stupid and. It's so dupey, because they told you so? Because, 2,000-year-old fish stories? I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Are you going to go sample the 20,000 silly religions that humans have invented and go find the one that's the real truth? Where, there's a shark god. You're going to pray to a shark? You're going to throw virgins to the shark? Oh, fuck. I don't know. That's so depressing. But that's not his audience. His audience isn't a bunch of religious kooks. So why waste time making that argument? Now, the free will thing, I can't imagine how, I don't see how an intelligent person can get past the point where your brain, has an anus and it farts. I mean, there's no free thoughts. Thoughts don't come out of nowhere. They have to come out of somewhere. It's cause and effect. So, free from what? Free from practice, free from education. You just know 2 + 2 is two. I mean, four. You just know it? It's nonsense. You know, you don't just know anything. Okay, everything had to be a learned experience. Well, anyway, so I mean, these are arguments that, have been going on for the whole time I've been on YouTube. But I suppose there's a point where you just give up on people that stupid and try to talk to the people who really do know that, yes, it is evolution. Yes, there's no soul. We're just mechanical machines in a rather bizarre circumstance. And how do we make the best out of that? Those are the people I want to talk to. Because the best thing they can do is prevent people from having to exist and pretend they're playing a good game when the game is made out of a bunch of waste. Yeah, it's probably enough. All right. So, unfortunately, the first video probably was better than this one, but that's just me saying so. But anyway, I think it was pretty good. But anyway, this will have to do as a replacement. So till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. Yeah, it's enough. Yeah, I think it's a fact that it's probably enough. A probable fact? That's kind of messy. Anyway, so till the next time and such and so forth. And what? I really am just gonna go. 1 minute I'll be here and then I'll be gone. Creepy.